Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. Let me just say that it is good to be back in the pulpit after being away on our family's vacation, and we are certainly thankful for that time that we had to be away, that time to spend together, to make some memories together. Let me also say thank you to Palmer for filling the pulpit for me that first Sunday that I was gone. He did an excellent job filling the pulpit for me, just as he did an excellent job this morning filling in for Becky, leading us in worship. And so we're thankful for the many gifts and talents that Palmer has, that God has given to Palmer, and how Palmer is using those for the Lord in this church. Now, if you didn't know already, my family and I, we spent a week in Orlando, Florida, taking our kids to the Disney and Universal theme parks. And as we began to plan this vacation, this certainly was not at the top of my list as I thought about getting rest over vacation. Because as you can imagine, spending a week at a theme park is anything but rest. I knew that we were going to be not resting, we were going to be doing, it was going to be a vacation of walking, lots and lots of walking. And if you didn't know, I'm not in the habit of doing large amounts of walking. Have you seen my commute? Right? I just have a few small steps from my house to the office each day. But going to these theme parks, this was more than just a few small steps. This was a lot of steps. In fact, my wife, she wore a watch with a step counter on it. And it turns out that we walked for 54 miles over the course of those 7 days. That's more than 7.5 miles per day. And by the third or fourth day, I began to feel like we were just on repeat. Walk all day, go to bed, get up, and walk some more. So for the last couple of months, we've been in this series titled Walk the Walk as we've been walking through the book of James. In fact, next week we're going to wrap this series up, and in 2 weeks we're going to launch into a new 7-part series in the book of Revelation. We're going to look at the 7 letters to the 7 churches in the book of Revelation. So it's going to be a good series. I invite you to come and be a part of that. But as we continue our series in the book of James, as we continue this series, Walk the Walk, we are reminded throughout the book of James that our lives as Christ followers are to be reflective of the God that we say that we serve. In other words, our life as a Christ follower is to be more than mere words. Rather, our actions and our attitudes are to reflect those words. In other words, to put it simply, we are to walk the walk. And we aren't called to just walk the walk today. We are called to walk the walk every day. Hear that again. We are called to walk the walk every day. And what this looks like is walking in obedience to the Lord today, going to bed, and then waking up tomorrow and walking in obedience to the Lord again tomorrow. We are to have our obedience to the Lord on repeat. We are to walk the walk every day. Now, I admit, walking around all of those theme parks for 7 straight days was quite exhausting. My feet hurt, my legs hurt. I definitely began to feel like the middle-aged man that I am. And I'm not saying that walking in obedience to the Lord is not going to have its challenges at times. I'm not saying that walking in obedience to the Lord that we will never grow weary. But what I've learned over the years is that walking in obedience to the Lord is not burdensome. It's a blessing. In fact, in Matthew 11, Jesus calls for the tired. Jesus calls for the weary to come to him and to take his yoke upon themselves. And he says these words in Matthew 11:30, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Walking in obedience to the Lord is not burdensome. It's a blessing. And so because we understand that walking in obedience to the Lord is not burdensome but a blessing, then let's not just talk the talk, but let's walk the walk each and every day. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to James chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11 this morning. James chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now, as you're turning there, I want to quickly remind you of the key focus of chapter 4. I didn't have the opportunity to preach on chapter 4 over the last couple of weeks, but that's not going to stop me from talking about it this morning. So the key focus of chapter 4 is really a focus on humility. In fact, in verse 4-6, James points us back to Proverbs 3:34 when he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And immediately following that reference back to Proverbs, James says this. James says these four words, four very important words for us. Therefore, submit to God. Therefore, submit to God. If I had to summarize all of chapter 4, it would be those four words right there. Therefore, submit to God. Understand, we are to live our lives in submission to God. Hear that again. We are to live our lives in submission to God. We're to do this when it comes to our sin, meaning that we don't give ourselves over to our fleshly desires, allowing for ourselves to be ensnared and enslaved by the power of our sin. Rather, we are set free by the power of the cross, and we walk in that freedom. Palmer put it very eloquently when he passionately said, turn from your sins and run to Jesus. Don't submit your life to the power of your sin, because that only leads to death. Submit your life to Jesus Christ. Submit your life to God, because He is the one that sets us free. So we're to live our lives in submission to God when it comes to our sin, but we're also to live our lives in submission to God when it comes to our plans. Nathan reminded us last week that God has the ultimate knowledge. And because God has the ultimate knowledge, He knows what's best for our lives. His plans are always going to be better. And so instead of saying, God, these are my plans, bless them, it's better for us to say, God, I want your will to be done. Would you reveal your plans? Would you reveal your will to me that I might walk in your plans, because you know what's best? You know, tonight we're going to be talking about plans for raising finances and even a timeline for a new youth and children's building. But as we think about that, I want you to know, as I've met with the committee over the last several months, this has been prayed over and prayed over and prayed over time and time again. We recognize that this is only going to be built, this is only going to be accomplished by God. And this is not about Kevin's plans. This is not about even First Baptist Stockdale's plans. This is about us submitting to God's plans. And we trust that God is going to accomplish this in His way and in His time, because we're going to be in submission to His plans as we walk in obedience to Him. But you know, I think it's a lot easier for us to live our lives in submission to God when it comes to these giant things that we know that we can't accomplish on our own, that we know, man, God's going to have to come through, versus some of these smaller things that we feel like we can control on our own. So I want you to understand, we are called to live in submission to God when it comes to the big things, but we're also called to live in submission to God when it comes to the small things as well. We are to live our lives in submission to God in every area of our life. So let me just pause and let's ask this question this morning. Am I living my life in submission to God? Am I living my life in submission to God? For the believer, living our life in submission to God looks like daily obedience. It looks like what we've been talking about throughout this series. Not just saying we're a Christ follower, not just saying that we're faithful, but living that out, walking the walk. Now, for the unbeliever, here's the reality. You aren't currently living your life in submission to God. And so for the unbeliever, living your life in submission to God today looks like repentance, recognizing the sin that's in your life, turning from that sin, turning to Jesus, and living your life in submission to Him from this point forward. And so whether you're a believer in here or whether you're an unbeliever in here today, each of us can ask this question: am I living my life in submission to God? And if you aren't living your life in submission to God today, then I would say, begin. Don't waste another moment. Don't waste another day. Begin living your life in submission to God today. As we look at our passage today, this is really going to be the continued focus: a life lived in submission to God. So with that in mind, let's read James chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It says, "Come now, you rich people, weep and wail over the miseries that are coming on you. Your wealth has rotted and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have stored up treasure in the last days. Look, the prey that you withheld from the pay that you withheld from the workers who mowed your fields cries out, and the outcry of the harvesters has reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and have indulged yourselves. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous who does not resist you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and late and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers and sisters, do not complain about one another so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name as example of suffering and patience. See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome that the Lord brought about. The Lord is compassionate and merciful." Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting a phrase that we see used of God at the end of verse 4. James refers to God in verse 4 as the Lord of hosts. This is a phrase that we often see used of God throughout Scripture, and many times we see that phrase used of God in the Old Testament. And that term, hosts, is referring to angels. And probably because of how Hollywood has depicted angels or how we have depicted angels in pictures over the years, many times when we think of angels or a host of angels, we think of these beautiful, sweet beings. But actually, when we see that term, hosts or heavenly hosts in Scripture, it's referring to an army of angels. And so sometimes in Scripture, you might see instead of the Lord of hosts, you might see it translated as the Lord of armies. Warriors embattled in the spiritual warfare that we see Paul refer to in Ephesians chapter 6. You know, as we think about the President of the United States, regardless of who's in office, whoever holds that position, the president is, we refer to that person as the commander-in-chief because they are the ultimate one that commands this nation's armies. But as we think of God, I want you to understand that God is the commander over armies greater than we will ever be able to fathom. And so when we live our lives in submission to God, we are submitting our lives to the one who commands the armies. Let that sink in. When we live our lives in submission to God, we are submitting our lives to the one who commands the armies. And this should give us great comfort and it should give us great hope. Because if we're submitting to the one who commands the armies, then we are submitting our lives to one who is with us and one who can take care of us in any and all circumstances. So over the course of last week, our family rode many different rides. We rode some mild rides, but we also rode some rides that were a little more exciting. And for our son Ethan, exciting translated to scary. And so if we were riding one of these scary rides, he wanted to be on that ride right by my side, holding my hand, because he wanted to know that I was there with him and that I would take care of him. Through all of the ups, through all of the downs, through all of the twists, through all of the turns, he wanted to know that I was there with him and that I would take care of him. You know, in this life, we go through many ups and downs. We go through many twists and many turns. And I want you to know, through all of the ups and downs, through all of the twists and turns, we can hold on to Jesus. We can hold on to the one who commands the armies, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, recognizing that he is here with us and that he can take care of us no matter what we're going through. When we live our lives in submission to God, we are submitting our lives to the one who commands the armies. But, and I want you to hear me, our commander does not lose. Our commander does not lose. God does not know the taste of defeat. Now, I don't know about you, but I know the taste of defeat. I've lost plenty of times in this life. But our God does not know the taste of defeat. Even when Jesus hung on that cross and died, I want you to know that wasn't defeat. That was victory. Christ's death on the cross was fully part of God's plan for the redemption of mankind. God's plan was not thwarted by the cross. God's plan was accomplished on the cross. And so when Jesus hung his head and his earthly body died, the battle was over. The victory was won. And when we turn from our sins and when we submit our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord, the Lord of armies, then we get to share in his victory. So let me say it again, our commander does not lose. He is the Lord of armies. So when we live our lives in submission to God, we're submitting our lives to the one who commands the armies. But the same can be said on the other side. When we live in opposition to God, we are living in opposition to the one who commands the armies. And so if you're living in opposition to God today, I would ask a simple question. Do you really want to live in opposition to the God who does not lose? Do you really want to live in opposition to the God who commands the armies? I would encourage you this morning, don't continue to live in opposition to God. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. And if we're going to live our lives in submission to God, if we are going to walk in obedience to God, then there are two clear things that we see in our passage in each of these sections that I want to point out for us this morning. The first thing that we see is that we are called to live with eternal priorities. We're called to live with eternal priorities. Now, James begins verse 1 by calling out rich people. But understand, this is not so much an indictment against rich people as it is against those who are placing their hope and their trust in earthly riches instead of trusting in the Lord. You see, having wealth, having riches is not a bad thing, but Scripture does indicate that there can be some added barriers for the rich in truly submitting to the lordship of Christ. Jesus said it this way to his disciples in Matthew 19:24. He said, "Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." So what is the kingdom of God? Well, you might say, well, it's heaven where God resides, and you wouldn't be wrong. But I believe that Scripture teaches us that the kingdom of God is much more than just heaven. The kingdom of God is wherever God reigns as king. The kingdom of God is wherever God reigns as king. And so when we submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, as we've already said, when when you live your life in submission to God, really what you're saying is, God, you are my king. And more than just words, you live your life in such a way that you allow for God to be king over you. For me, that means Kevin is not my king. My fleshly desires are not my king. They are not to rule me. God is king over me, and because of that, I am able to be a part of God's kingdom right now. The kingdom of God is wherever God reigns as king. And so I would ask you, are you a part of the kingdom of God? Are you allowing God to reign as king over you? As we look at the first six verses of chapter 5, it's clear that those that James is addressing, they are not allowing God to be their king. Wealth is their king. They don't have eternal priorities. They have earthly priorities. They're storing up for themselves wealth. They're mistreating their workers, withholding pay, simply so they can have for themselves a fatter bank account. God is not their king. Wealth is their king. And so James brings an indictment on these people, saying in verse 1, weep and wail over the miseries that are coming on you. Here's the reality. When we go through this life allowing for anything other than the one true God to be king over us, when we live our life in opposition to God, submitting ourselves to the kingship of our wealth, submitting ourselves to the kingship of our fleshly desires, submitting ourselves to the kingship of our own hearts, when we live our lives in opposition to the one true God, what we have coming on us is not peace, it's not joy, it's not rest. What we have coming on us is eternal condemnation. What we have coming on us is eternal miseries. And so James says to those living with these earthly priorities, weep and wail over the miseries that are coming on you. But I want you to know, you don't have to live with these earthly priorities. You don't have to live in submission to the things of this world. You can submit your heart to the lordship of Christ or the kingship of God today. Not by weeping and wailing over the miseries that are coming on you, but by becoming brokenhearted over the sin that has condemned you. I want you to hear what Jesus says in Matthew 5:4 in his Sermon on the Mount. He says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. That verse is talking about more than simply grieving the loss of a loved one. That verse is talking about mourning over our sins, weeping and wailing over our rebellion, and finding comfort in the redemption and the salvation of Jesus Christ. That verse is talking about not simply having earthly priorities, but having eternal priorities. And so I would just ask you today, what are your priorities? Are they earthly or are they eternal? And if we're going to live our lives in submission to God, if we are going to walk the walk as we've been called to do, then we are called to live with eternal priorities. The second thing that we see is that we are called to live with an enduring patience. An enduring patience. Let's look at the first part of verse 7 again. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. We are to live with an enduring patience. As we think about being patient for the Lord's return, I want you to understand we can patiently await the Lord's return because what we are waiting for is good. As you can imagine, over the course of last week, we did more than just walking. We also did a lot of waiting. We waited for this ride and we waited for that ride. We did a lot of waiting. And waiting can be difficult sometimes. But because we knew that what we were waiting for was good, it made the waiting worthwhile. Now, James doesn't liken our waiting to theme park rides. James likens it to a farmer waiting for the harvest. The seeds have been planted, the work is done, but now you wait, and when there are plenty of rains, you know that what you are waiting for is a promise. The harvest will come, and the harvest will be good. I want you to know, As we await the Lord's return, we are not simply hoping he will return. We are waiting for a promise. One day the Lord will bring all things to a close. There will be no more sin. There will be no more strife. The Lord will return and he will reign in victory forever. We are waiting for a promise. The Lord will return and his return will be good. What we are waiting for is good. And because we know that what we are waiting for is good, we can patiently await the Lord's return. But this patience is not to be a temporary patience. It's to be an enduring patience. So let me pause right here and say this. We are to patiently await the Lord's return until the day the Lord returns. Let me say that again. We are to patiently await the Lord's return until the day the Lord returns. We're not only to be patient today. We are to be patient tomorrow and the next day and the next day. We are to be patient every day. We are to patiently await the Lord's return until the day the Lord returns. So let me give you one final illustration from my vacation. Listen, it wouldn't have been a good vacation if I didn't walk away with a bag full of illustrations. So by the time we got to Saturday, we had waited in lines all week long. We had learned to be patient. And so as we were waiting in a line on our last day, our daughter Emily said this to us, "My patience has grown patience." I don't think that's actually a thing, but I do think it's a good thought for us today. As we await the Lord's return, let's get so used to being patient that even our patience grows patience. And the promise that we see, the reward that we see at the end of verse 11 is that we will get to experience the compassion and the mercy of God. What we are waiting for is good. And because we know that what we are waiting for is good, we can patiently await the Lord's return. So we're called to live with eternal priorities and with an enduring patience, and we do these things because we are living in submission to God, not just today, not just tomorrow, but every day. But listen, before you can live your life in submission to God, first you must take that step to submit your life to God. And if you've never submitted your life to the Lordship of Christ or the kingship of God, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. So in just a moment, Palmer's going to lead us in another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond this morning. And if you're here today and you would say, "I've never given my life to Christ. I've never submitted to the Lordship of Christ, the kingship of God. I've been submitting to my fleshly desires. I've been submitting to the things of this world. I've been submitting to everything else except for to God." But today, you don't want to live in opposition to God. Today, you're ready to begin living in submission to God. If that's you, then I want to invite you to respond. I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to pray with you as you make that decision to live your life in submission to God today. And maybe you're here and you would say, "I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that step of baptism to make my faith in Christ public through baptism, just like Carter and Ryan did today." If you need to take that step, listen, we've got several more baptisms coming up, but I'd love to have your baptism coming up as well. If you need to take that step to make your faith in Christ public through baptism, respond. Let's talk. Let's pray. Let's make that commitment together this morning. And maybe you're here and you would say, "I've given my life to Christ. I've taken that step of baptism by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know that God's called me to make this my church home, to come alongside this church body, to join this church on the mission that God has called us to." God's calling you to connect your life with First Baptist Church Stockdale, to become a member of First Baptist Church Stockdale, then I would invite you to respond as well. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.